We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Well, who better to tell us a little bit more about Mac Jones, who Charlie Weiss glowed about and raved as a perfect fit for the Patriot system, than the gentleman who joins us now on the Harbor One hotline. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Rodak. He used to report on the Bills for ESPN and the Patriots for ESPNBoston.com. And now he covers Alabama sports, particularly the Crimson Tide for Alabama.com. Here's Mike Rodak with Hart and Fitzy. Good afternoon, Mike. Thanks for taking a little time to join us on the show today.
Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
I'm just super glad you answered Andy's text. I mean, I know he can be.
We doing this?
Yeah, it's all right. He's a good guy. I'll take it.
Everybody likes to take pot shots at me, Mike. Everybody likes to take shots, but then they're like, "Hey, anybody got a contact for Mike Rodak?" And I was like, "Yeah, I got him in my phone. I'll see if it works." I just want to thank you for joining us, and I want you to answer the very simple question. Charlie Weiss used the word "it" to describe Mac Jones. He has it. Does he have it?
I think he has a competitive fire that you don't always see in other players. And as you guys just mentioned, I've covered NFL players, covered college players now, and there is something a little bit different about him. And, you know, it's a little bit cliche, like chip on the shoulder, like, you know, this white guy who everybody kind of looked over, three-star recruit, like never a big name coming into college. Like, he has success, and there's always this idea of a chip on the shoulder. So there's somewhat of a cliche there, but I do think there is something about him that, you know, got him to where he is. And you can't really compare anybody to Tom Brady, but it's that Tom Brady-like aspect of he's always going to think of himself as a sixth-round pick who got passed over X number of times and all these other quarterbacks ahead of him. And how much that has led to his success, you know, I'm sure it's just a small fraction, but I do think it is part of Mac. So I think there is somewhat of a nit factor there with him, again, just based on the fact that he was overlooked coming out of high school and even at Alabama. I mean, he was always just Tua's backup, and nobody ever really saw him as doing what he did, you know, finishing third in Heisman and winning the Davey O'Brien Award, winning a national championship. I can say for sure I did not see that coming out of him. And I think to get himself to that point, you know, he probably deserves some credit there. I think there is, you know, from a character, if you're looking at that box on his scouting report, I think there is that chip on the shoulder that you would look for out of that position.
You know, the thing, Mike, though, is that while so people are still so enamored, I mean, just still shook, if you will, that Tom Brady left, let alone enamored with everything he brought, the intensity, the fire, you know, beating you before the snap, and that competitive it factor, if you will, that he had and continued to develop in a legendary capacity. I don't think anybody needs Mac Jones to be or be like Tom Brady, but after what we just watched with Cam Newton this past season, I think what people want is a competent quarterback who can make the reads, doesn't turn the ball over, and can complete NFL throws and keep a team we believe will probably have a very good defense because it's a Bill Belichick team in the games. I would like to know, though, if while Mac Jones may have it between the ears, is he maybe the quarterback who could help dispel the myth that Alabama quarterbacks are products of the talent around them and not just great standalone quarterback prospects?
I think he can. And to be honest, I think Tua can still do that. I'm still fairly high on Tua and what he's capable of doing down there. I think, you know, injuries are probably his biggest problem and was a problem again this season for him. And I guess from that standpoint, Mac Jones has stayed a lot healthier. So that's kind of a check check box on his end compared to Tua. But I do think he has the capability of doing that. And I think the biggest, you're never going to get a good look at him without the talent around him. I mean, that just wasn't going to happen this season. It didn't really happen at the Senior Bowl. He didn't play because of his ankle injury. And so it's hard to say how is Mac Jones going to look if he doesn't have Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle and Najee Harris in the backfield and that offensive line. But what you can do is kind of flip it the other way and say, how did it look when there's a different quarterback in there? And so Alabama has a five-star kid who came in last year, second-best recruit in the country, really highly touted kid, and he got a lot of playing time because they were blowing people out last season by 30, 40 points. And Bryce Young is this kid's name. He was in there in the second half with the same offense around him. That was what Nick Saban wanted. He wanted to put the same offense around Bryce Young and see what he could do with that group, and the results were a lot worse. So that's, I think, one way of looking at it. If you can't look at Mac without everybody else around him, how does a different quarterback look in there? And just with the offense did not run as smoothly, the throws weren't as accurate, the players weren't able to get yards after the catch, just didn't really work as well. So that's kind of what I look at last season, and maybe people aren't looking at that when they're looking at Mac, but go back and look how Bryce Young played with that offense. It just wasn't the same.
Mike, you've covered the NFL for a long time and now college football for a while. So first, I want you to just pretend you haven't covered Mac Jones for his career at Alabama. You're prepping for the draft, covering the Patriots or covering the Bills and looking at him as an NFL draft prospect. Do you believe he's worthy of, say, I don't know, hypothetically, the 15th pick in the draft? And do you think he should go in that position? Because there's a wide range of opinions that he could be gone by 12 or he could be a late first round pick. So just taking yourself out of sort of the closeness to him, would you think he was worthy of the 15th pick in the draft?
No. And that's, I think, the tough part for him is that he might be being elevated a little bit higher than where he should go. And I think that top half of the first round should be reserved for the guys like Mahomes, like Deshaun Watson, in recent years. And I mean, there's been a lot of quarterbacks drafted high that really shouldn't have been. We saw the two that are traded and Goff and Wentz. But those sort of quarterbacks who can, when the play breaks down, make those ridiculous sidearm throws that we see out of Mahomes, run around, and just make things happen in a way that other quarterbacks can't. And Mac's not that quarterback, and I think it's tough to kind of put him in that category because I think it's doing a disservice to him. But, if you're drafted in the bottom half of the first round, early second round, like, you can still be a pretty good NFL quarterback, and there's a lot of good quarterbacks who have come in that range, and they're just a little bit different from a talent standpoint. So, yeah, I think he is getting pushed a little too high. And to be honest, it's some of the ESPN guys, I mean, Kuiper and McShay seem to keep getting him a little bit higher.
Yep.
Where I think McShay's last draft had him going 12. And then you see some of the different guys, Dane Brugler, Matt Miller, other, highly touted, mock draft people. And they're a little bit later in the first round. And that's probably a better spot for him. And I mean, for his standpoint, does it really matter if you go 15 or 28? I mean, the money's different, but if you're in a better situation, then that's probably better off for you, trying to get to the second contract. So I guess to bring it back to the Patriots, they are in a tough spot in the sense that they got that high pick, which they haven't had in a while. But if you're looking at Mac, you're taking a little bit of a risk right there. And if I was them, I'd rather take him at 20, 25, 30. Then there's the old adage that, if you like the quarterback, just take him wherever. I don't know if that's what Bill lives by, but that might be if they really like him, that might be what they have to do.
Could be a candidate for a classic Belichick first round trade back. We're talking with Mike Rodak at Mike Rodak from Alabama.com about Mac Jones and Alabama football here on Fitzy and Hart on EEI. Everyone, like you're saying, like people always try to comp somebody to somebody else. Oh, he's the next this guy, or he could be the next that for this team. And here's who he reminds me of. One of the things I really appreciated watching a lot of college football, specifically Alabama, as they go on to win the national championship this year, Mike, was Mac Jones's cool demeanor. He didn't seem like, he doesn't get too hype, but also seems pretty unflappable. Very steady presence in the pocket, goes through his progressions, moves well enough, but obviously is not too fleet of foot, but never really seemed to get off his spot emotionally, which kind of made me think of more like an Eli Manning type, like maybe a little headier than people would give him credit for, and also just doesn't get too fired up during the game so that he freaks out or misses a read or makes the wrong play. Who does he remind you of in that capacity?
You know, I hadn't thought of that comparison, but as I just ran it through my head, it's not a bad one. I guess I don't really know a lot of quarterbacks from a personality standpoint, right, like that to really make that comparison. But, yeah, I think Eli's a good – I mean, just from an on-field standpoint, too, I think there's similarities in their game and what they're able to do. And I know Eli took a lot of heat over his career and, you know, rightfully so probably. But, you know, he's still a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. And if the Patriots could get Eli Manning for the next 10 years, you know, would you take it? You know, with the recognition that you're probably not going to get Tom Brady for the next 10 years, if you can get an Eli Manning and try to win a few more, you know, I would probably do that. But, yeah, it is something that Mac had to work on. I mean, Nick Saban always talked about it his first couple of years here. Like, Mac would really be hard on himself and get down after he made a mistake. And, you know, they really had to tell him just to go to the next play. And I think Mac even worked with there's like a Navy SEAL trainee that was one of his friends from high school who learned all this breathing exercise at the Naval Academy. And, you know, he taught Mac a lot of that. So if he throws an interception, he does his breathing exercise and comes back the next play and tries to be better. And, you know, I think he did a pretty good job of that. Not that he threw a lot of picks or made a lot of mistakes last season. I mean, he was pretty clean all year. Even the picks that he threw, a couple of them were, you know, kind of tip passes and fluky plays. So, I think personality wise, it's not a bad comparison. But again, I would have to know some of these quarterbacks on a deeper level, I guess.
Tell me why I'm wrong to believe that Jaylen Waddle is actually the better NFL prospect at wide receiver as opposed to Devontae Smith, the Heisman winner.
The production just consistently wasn't there. I mean, I would still lean towards Devontae. I don't think there's a huge gap just because I'm someone who, I guess, believes in production over traits and skills. And I know there's debate about that in the scouting or draft community, whatever you want to call it. But
yep,
like Devontae Smith is the most productive receiver in SEC history, one of the most productive college receivers ever. And Jaylen Waddle just, you know, he had his moments where, you know, Auburn 2 years ago scores four touchdowns and 298 yards, I think he had total. And you see those games, you're like, man, this guy can really put it together, and just never really got strung together for him. Whereas Devontae Smith week in and week out was just putting up huge numbers. So, I mean, Waddle's the faster guy, the quicker guy, you know, if there was a combine, his numbers would be better than Devontae Smith. But I mean, Devontae, for his size, stayed healthier than Waddle did, you know, took hits in and out and just kept on going. I mean, he's a really impressive guy. For us, he was terrible interview-wise. He's just so focused and
oh, perfect.
So boring. And, yeah, I mean, he's Mr. Patriot as far as interviews. But is he going to be there at 15? I don't know. Again, that was a thing where I think Shea really pushed him up. I think he was as high as 3 at one point, and
yeah,
we've kind of seen him slip back down into the teens. And I don't know, maybe there's a shot for him to go to New England. But yeah, if I was picking between Mac and Devontae, I think is much more of a surefire talent for the top half of the first round. I think you just have to decide, you know, quarterback versus wide receiver, and what's the best route to go there.
Oh, it'd be a hard talent to pass up. The Slim Reaper is just an absolute route running assassin on the field, and I think he's going to be great. I think he reminds me so much of Marvin Harrison, even a little longer and almost a little shiftier. But I don't think the Pats will have a chance at him. Maybe Waddle, maybe not. But the Patriots, as you can tell, Mike, from having followed him years ago and probably still keeping in touch with him because they're such a national team, have needs all over the field. Could you maybe debrief the audience and tell us about a couple of other players that'll be coming out that you could maybe see as good fits defensively and on offense from Alabama for the Patriots?
Yeah, I think Christian Barmore is probably one of the guys who I think people will talk about. Not at 15, I think that's too high for him. If he's around in the second, yeah, it might be a better spot. Interior defensive lineman, definitely can get some penetration, some push. He's a good pass rusher. problem with him is production. I mean, it's a very small window production for him. He kind of came on late last season, 2019, just kind of as a backup, you know, playing some snaps here and there. And then he saw more playing time this year, but really still wasn't like a full three down, you know, every down player. So it's not a huge sample size for him, but I think the traits are there in terms of what you look for out of a three technique. You know, he did have some issues in fall camp last year. Just he went on Instagram and basically said he quit. And then he kind of had to backtrack from that and actually had a pretty good season. So I'm sure he's glad he didn't quit, but, yeah, I don't know obviously Nick Saban's going to be running down these same guys to Bill Belichick. And I don't know if they get to Christian Barmore, if Saban's going to say he's a right character fit for your team. So that would concern me a little bit there if I was the Patriots. But otherwise, I mean, Najee Harris, I think, is a great prospect. I just don't know, you know, with what they have already in their backfield and what they've invested in that position, if that's, you know, if that would work out for them. I mean, Alex Leatherwood, if you move him to guard and let's say Joe Tooney's gone, you know, maybe he's a fit. But I don't know if I'd take him in the first. I think he's probably more of a second for me. I mean, Patrick Surtain's going to be gone at corner.
He'll be gone early, you think, right, Patrick Surtain?
Yeah, he'll be gone before the Patriots pick. And I mean, well, it seemed like it was like late, you know, 8, 9, 10 that I was seeing on mock drafts recently. And
yep.
I've seen him get pushed a little bit lower, but I doubt he'll be there at 15 in my mind. I think he's probably the best corner out there.
So, Mike, I have a
Dylan Moses. Sorry, you have the last name I had just came to mind was Dylan Moses, and that could be an interesting kind of second or third round value. You know, obviously they had mm-hmm. issues at inside linebacker last year. Juwan Bentley looked like he was, you know, running through mm-hmm. concrete sometimes. And Dylan Moses, I think, has issues too with speed and movement. He had an ACL 2 years ago now that just never really came back from last year. But before that, he was an All American and. You know, it's kind of seen as a first-round pick. So if you can pick him up in the second or third, probably better the third, then I think you can get some, you know, decent value there if he kind of comes along and comes back to his old form.
Mike, as the Patriots look to rebuild, one of the things we've talked about even today with Fitzy and myself is, you know, is Bill going to stick to the, he's a defensive-minded coach, rebuild the defense? I got into an argument with a caller who said, yeah, that's how they won in the early 2000s. They built around their defense. And then I think of the Saban comment I saw this year where he basically said, you're not winning national titles on defense anymore. That's not where the game is. We saw their great offense this year. Did you see sort of a tangible transition with him philosophically where he just said, yep, it's a different game today. We're just going to be like everybody else. We're going to score points, recruit athletes on the offensive side of the ball. Have you seen that happen at Alabama?
Yeah, I think it probably happened a couple years before I got here. The moment that Saban always talks about is losing to Ole Miss. I think it was 2014 and 2015. I think 2 years in a row they lost. And that was an Ole Miss offense that played really fast, and they went to no huddle a lot, and just, you know, RPOs and a lot of things that really gave Saban trouble as a defensive guy. And then he said, all right, let's start doing that ourselves. And, you know, Steve Sarkisian really put in that that offense, and even Mike Locksley before then. But, yeah, I think it really started to take hold with Tua and when it had Judy and Devontae Smith, Ruggs, and probably, you know, the last couple of years too. I mean, their defense has not been great. It's kind of slid. And Saban really hasn't had much of an issue with that. And it's been interesting to kind of hear him talk about that because you'd expect him to be, you know, yelling and screaming about it. But, you know, as long as their offense was scoring 48, 50 points a game, which is what they were averaging, then it doesn't really matter if your defense is giving up 35 or 40. I mean, you're still in good shape. So, yeah, I think he's definitely shifted to that mentality. I don't know if, like, even if Bill was to do that, if Bill sat down in his chair in Nantucket today and said, all right, I'm going to become an offensive juggernaut, like, how do you do that? You know, you still need the players to do it. And, again, I don't know if – I think Mac Jones is certainly a capable NFL starter. I don't know if he's going to be the sort of NFL quarterback who's going to go out there and score 40, 45 points a game for you. So I think you have to decide – you know, what are you going to give up to get your quarterback if you want to be that sort of offense? And it's an off season where there's a lot of guys available, and I don't see why you should be taking yourselves out of a Deshaun Watson mix or, you know, Russell Wilson if he becomes available or whoever else. I think if this is your chance, then you might as well go and get it.
He is the Alabama beat reporter for Alabama.com. You can follow him on Twitter at Mike Rodak. Thank you so much for the time today and the Alabama perspective, Mike. We learned a lot during the time. Appreciate it very much. Please enjoy the rest of your Sunday, and it was a pleasure having you on the program.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Mike.
Great stuff. And thanks for answering Andy's tweet.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.